Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. Our guest today is Claire Tanzi, the author of Uncomplicated, Taking the Stress Out of Home Cooking. Claire, thank you so much for being here with us today to talk about this fantastic book.
I'm so happy to be here.
The future of the kitchen is Joule sous vide. This smart kitchen appliance makes the best steak you've ever eaten, seriously. Joule uses precise temperature control and trademarked visual doneness guides to make perfect food every time. You can even see how your food will turn out before you start cooking. Cook incredible dishes at home via the Joule app on your phone or tablet, or try voice-controlled cooking with the Joule Amazon Alexa skill. Cook beef, poultry, seafood, veggies, desserts, whatever you love, Joule can make. You'll get consistently awesome results. Seriously, the best food you've ever had. Joule has revolutionized my cooking process. I don't have to worry about whether something will come out undercooked or overcooked, so I can focus on the ingredients and not the timing. To get yours, visit chefsteps.com/Joule and use code CLEVER to get $15 off for a limited time. That's chefsteps.com/Joule, code CLEVER for $15 off. Joule, perfect food every time. So in the book, you know, you have this sort of background as a chef, but you are also a person who needs to get dinner on the table every night. So you're really sort of marrying those two identities in this book. Talk about how the book came to be and what made you want to write it.
So I've been in the food business my whole career, so sort of 20 years of doing everything from cooking in fine dining restaurants to running the test kitchen at big magazines. I've even worked in product development for like big grocery stores. But the thing is that when I come home, it's just me and my partner and our son, and we just need to have dinner on the table. And so the way that I cook at home has always really been very simple, very straightforward. And I thought that these are the kind of recipes that really ordinary people need every day. You know, we are all busy. We all have huge, hectic lives. And yet we know that getting a home-cooked meal on the table, yes, 5, 6, 7 nights a week is a tall order, but we know that that's just going to make us happier and healthier in all aspects of our lives. So I wanted to kind of forego the whole chef training, the fancy knives, the fancy gadgets, the long ingredient lists, and just write recipes like the ones I use at home to feed my own family.
One of the things that I love so much about this book is that it's really adaptable. Throughout the recipes, you have a lot of ideas about, you know, how someone can make it differently if they are not eating meat, or ideas for how to turn it into leftovers. How has that sort of adaptability, changed the way you cook, and especially sort of compared to the very rigid structure of what I think of as professional cooking?
Well, I think anybody who has, a child at any age, really, or even, a spouse who's on a new diet program, or, an intolerance or an allergy or a food problem, anybody who has dealt with any of those issues, and honestly, who among us has not at some point in our cooking lives, we know what it's like to have to kind of think on your feet while you're cooking. So somebody is a vegetarian and they're coming to Thanksgiving dinner. What are you going to do? You sort of have to adjust. And I just kind of wanted to take that. What I really wanted to do was to just accept that that's a part of life. And yes, there's going to be somebody who's gluten-free coming to your party. So you know what? Instead of soy sauce, use tamari. And if you've got a vegetarian coming for dinner, here's a terrific, beautiful menu you can do that is gorgeous. It's all vegetarian, and everybody's going to love it no matter what they eat. And of course, for me, I have a 6-year-old son. He absolutely refuses to eat anything with green stuff in it. Those his words, not mine. So, when I make my meatloaf, I always say that the chopped fresh parsley is optional, because in our house, I can't add the chopped fresh parsley to the meatloaf because it means that my son won't eat it.
What are some of the things that you kind of always keep on hand that you feel like are really important to have a stock pantry and fridge that is sort of ready to go make something delicious at a moment's notice?
You know, I think that shopping is such a hard, hard part of cooking. It's honestly one of the most underrated skills of cooking. And I hate to admit it, but I really hate grocery shopping, even though I have to do so much of it. And as much as I have always aspired to be a person who can, like, write a meal plan for the week and then just go and shop once and have everything in the house, it just never seems to happen. And so instead, I kind of reverse engineer it. And whenever I shop, I always get the same kind of group of essential groceries that, for me, mean that I can turn them into any number of a number of different dishes. So really, most of the recipes in my book come from the same basic group of staples. And these are things that are not hard to get your hands on. You know, we're talking about canned black beans and chickpeas, canned plum tomatoes, tuna fish. Of course, you always have pasta and, like, rice on hand, just a couple of different oils, basic spices, and things like Parmesan cheese, Dijon mustard, maybe an Indian curry paste. Of course, the vegetables are in the freezer, you know, frozen peas, frozen corn. And then I find that as long as I've got those things in the pantry, then I can kind of cook on the fly a lot easier. And so I sort of let myself off the hook in that sense. I don't always have to know what we're going to be eating every night of the week, because thank goodness, some weeks they just go completely sideways, right? And you have to throw out the plan. But as long as I've got these kind of basic staples in the pantry, I know I can always make dinner, no matter what's going on.
While we're talking about shopping and ingredients a little bit, I've found that one of the things that's really a shortcut to a mind-blowing meal is just splurging a little bit on certain things, whether it's the fish or the chicken or things that just, you know, if you get a really good quality version, you don't have to do much. What are the ingredients that you think are worth splurging on and worth really seeking out a great source for, and what are some staples that it's sort of okay to get the generic store brand?
Oh my goodness, I love this topic so much, because I feel like so many cookbooks, cooking shows, chefs always encourage people to buy the most expensive ingredients. And I think, except for in a few cases, you just do not have to do that. Things that I never splurge on would be canned tomatoes. You know, people talk about, oh, you've got to get the Italian ones, you've got to get the San Marzanos. Honestly, if you're putting all that into a big pot of spaghetti bolognese or a pasta sauce or a soup, you are going to be simmering that with onions and garlic and spices and wine and salt and pepper, and you are not going to taste the difference in the end. And honestly, the difference between, you know, a 69-cent can of tomatoes and a $4.50 can of tomatoes, that is a big deal to me. So I don't ever splurge on canned tomatoes. Some things that I do splurge on, Parmesan cheese, I always buy it by the wedge, and I grate it, like, as you need to. So not only is the taste just so much better when you grate it freshly, I find it's a lot more intense, so you end up needing less of it. And then, of course, when you buy the wedge, you get the rind of the Parmesan, which it's just like a gift, right? You can pop that into a simmering soup or a pot of risotto, and it gives an incredible flavor boost. And so Parmesan is something I always spend money on. Something else I really feel strongly about spending money on is certain meats, like steaks, roasts, and certainly some types of fish. I feel like that's where you can really taste where your money went, right? So the difference between, say, a really cheap roast chicken and one that maybe is either, you know, raised in a different way or slaughtered or butchered in a different way, I find that the flavor impact can be so dramatic that it's worth the money. Same for something like a roast beef or a steak or even a great pork chop. And of course, things like shrimp or other types of fish. Those are times when, like I said, you can really taste the increased investment. So I always try to eat less of it, but then I spend a little bit more on my meat and fish.
If you're a parent, you know it can be hard to find time to do what you love when you have so many responsibilities for your kids. So I want to tell you about a fantastic new podcast that can help. It's called Time to Parent. Hosted by home organization expert Julie Morgenstern, Time to Parent offers life-changing strategies to simplify your life and prioritize the elements that matter most, like spending time relating to your kids, teaching them important lessons, and getting a good night's sleep. Julie understands that parents are still people and need to focus on their personal needs too. So a core part of her framework is making sure that parents have enough sleep, exercise, love, and fun. The show is really smart and really validating, and I think you're going to love it. New episodes release weekly on Mondays. To listen, open up your favorite podcast player and search for Time to Parent. Enjoy. Part of your food life, obviously, is that you're cooking for a young child, which is always a challenge in terms of kind of introducing new ingredients, finding things that everyone likes. What are some of your tips for people who are handling picky eaters or just trying to get their kids kind of more involved in thinking about food and being in the kitchen?
Yeah. So we have one son, he's 6, and he has definitely been at our knees and our ankles and our hips from the get-go, and we cook every day. My partner and I both cook every day, so he's used to us being in the kitchen. And one thing that I've always kind of insisted on is that we sit down and have dinner together every night. You know, we have a no screens at the table rule. And if one of the parents is out, we still make the effort to sit down with our son and have dinner and try to have a conversation. For me, the dinner table with a child is, it's more about the act of actually just eating together, than it is about what he puts in his mouth. He is extremely picky, but you know what? So was I. I barely ate any meat or fish. I never ate eggs until I was in my 20s. And now, of course, I eat everything. So I sort of decided a couple of years ago that I was just going to take the power struggle away from the table. I make tasty, nourishing food. We have it, you know, we sit together. It's served family style. And if my son eats everything, terrific. But he doesn't get extra praise or anything like that. And if he just eats bread and butter, that's also fine by me. So we don't have any of those like, oh, you got to have one bite to be polite, or you have to clean your plate, or any of those rules. Because I just wanted to take that power struggle away from the table. My son is really stubborn, so I didn't want the dinner table to be a place where we were always arguing. That said, I really do hope that his palate expands as he gets older. He does take his steak rare, just like his mom and dad, so at least that's a good thing.
That's so funny. It's amazing how, you know, as you say, you know, you were a picky eater. A lot of people had particular tastes when they were young that do change over time. And I think, you know, giving that space to sort of let him as an individual come to his palate on his own probably makes a lot of sense.
I hope so. It certainly makes life easier for us, right? Because it's not like, okay, we have to sit at the table and fight to make sure he eats dinner. There have been a lot of nights where he has a bowl of cereal for dinner, a lot.
Kind of on the flip side, I wanted to ask you, too, about entertaining. And I think, you know, having people over, feeding them, trying to make sure you're spending time with your guests while still trying to get things done in the kitchen is stressful for a lot of people. What are some of your tips for making entertaining less complicated?
I really love to entertain. And much like my feeling about family dinner, it's often more about having the people together and sharing that conversation and those making those memories, having that good time, than it is about the actual food. Of course, that's a very hard lesson for me to learn because I love to cook, and of course I want to impress people with my food. But I sort of try to let myself off the hook when it comes to entertaining. We have a lot of friends who just come over on a weeknight, and I'll make a simple bowl of pasta and a green salad. So that's not necessarily food you think of as entertaining food, you know, quote-unquote fancy dinner food, but it doesn't matter. It's simple. It's good. I've got the ingredients on hand. It takes 20 minutes, half an hour to prep, and we can sit together and share a meal and have some great conversation. So I really encourage people, if they want to entertain, then just do it and don't worry too much about the fancy food. Now, when it comes to hosting a big party, which I also think is a fantastic idea, and if you feel like doing it, I hope you do. But get as much as you can done in advance. The dessert, the main, as many of the side dishes as you can, get them all done in advance so that you aim to have maybe one or two things to do at the last minute. You know, so maybe you're just reheating some green beans and garlic, or, you know, you're just making a quick gravy for a roast or something like that, but that you're not doing all the dishes in the last 30 minutes while everybody's also, you know, sharing gossip and catching up on your day and having a cocktail. So if you get everything done in advance, that way you sort of free yourself up to be a lot more available to chat and actually have a great time. And then, of course, my other tip is don't ever serve a first course. I don't know how our moms did it or our grandmothers, like, served a soup course and then served another course. No way. There is absolutely no way that you can serve a first course and sit down and enjoy it while getting everything ready for the main course. So skip the first course completely.
Claire, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. It's such good advice, and it's such a fun and useful book full of really tasty recipes. So really appreciate you coming to visit.
It has been such a pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much.
Check out the book, Uncomplicated, Taking the Stress Out of Home Cooking by Claire Tanzi. And this has been The Clever Cookster, full of tips and tricks for everyday entertaining.
This episode is brought to you by Macmillan, our publisher. This year, Macmillan turned 175 years old. And to celebrate, we brought together Macmillan employees to share their favorite stories of working here. From publishing best-selling books.
And I just remember seeing them across the concourse. And I started running up to them. I'm like, you're number one, you're number one. And we all started jumping up and down.
To making a difference in the world.
Of all the books that I've worked on, I feel like this book, more than any other, has changed people's lives. And that's an incredible opportunity.
To the impact working here has on our own lives.
You know, being at Macmillan was kind of a big part of our story to begin with.
We officially listed our location on the marriage certificate as the Flatiron Building, and we couldn't find any others that matched in the records, so.
So we're just gonna go ahead and say that we're the first to actually get married in the Flatiron Building.
Macmillan, bringing authors and readers together since 1843. For more stories of our long-standing history in the publishing business, follow us on social at Macmillan USA. That's MacMillanUSA.